Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200. Welcome to the Rock Solid Family Podcast. This is Merle Hutchinson along with my partner and wife in life, Linda. How are you doing today?
Wife in life.
That's I kind of like that. Yeah. Wife in life.
I'm kind of a little bummed.
Why are you so bummed?
Because we're kind of finishing up our Summer of Love series. This is our last part, part five. And, you know, that means summer is almost over.
Hey, hon, look at the bright side.
What?
Kids are about ready to go back to school.
Oh, yeah. Woohoo! Actually, I kind of like your shirt today. If you're listening and not watching, you're not seeing this bright orange. I feel like it's like sunshiny. Last week I wore yellow.
I did it just for that reason.
Yeah, I'm sure you coordinated it. But yeah, right. I mean, you know, it is. It's, although I did hear somebody correct us, like summer is a long way from being over. But
no, it's not, man. Not when you're a school teacher. When you're a school teacher, summer is coming to an end.
But guess what? You're not a school teacher anymore.
I know. But we still have little school
And I'm
children.
Not a school teacher anymore because I do remember like dread, right? Yeah. Like the end of July. You're like, oh. But now we have a different perspective.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a lot of that, you know, mixed feelings out there for a lot of parents.
Yeah. So no matter where you are today in your summer, where we are is we are finishing up the fifth part today of our Summer of Love series. Mm-hmm. And so we've had a good time. It gave us some good focus over this summer, these past several weeks, to just really focus on just the marriages. A lot of times we intermix marriage and parenting and mental health issues and all these different things. But we decided, you know, let's just focus on marriage for the good part of this summer.
We need some focus in the summer because I feel like, I don't know if anybody out there else feels this way, but sometimes I feel like, man, you just kind of lost the structure, right?
The routine. You got to check the calendar.
Vacations and no school and, you know.
You got to check the schedule every day because it varies
every
day.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. So, and we are constantly having to communicate, like, are you taking them to work? Are you picking up? What do we... Are we eating dinner tonight? You know.
So. Well, I always eat dinner, so let no mistake
okay,
about
maybe
that.
Okay, maybe it's more, am I cooking dinner tonight?
Yeah. All right, yeah. So anyway, we are going to wrap up our last part. And, you know, we've joked a little bit about when we concluded part four about the idea of what we're going to talk about this week. But this week, we're going to talk about last week, we talked about physical intimacy. And we talked about what was involved in getting that to connect. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit more from the female perspective that you just can't have that physical intimacy unless you're going to really pull in some of these other parts. And this last part that we're going to talk about today is that spiritual intimacy,
right?
That connecting on a deeper level that you understand like purpose with your relationship with each other. And so it's just a whole different realm. And, you know, can you have a marriage without the spiritual side?
Do it all the time.
Yeah. And it really depends on how you define marriage, right?
Yeah.
If you define marriage as God defined it, then it gets a little bit difficult. Mm. But now you have to kind of define the terms because marriage now has been defined in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But we define marriage with God.
Yeah. And I believe it's a critical element to the overall wellness and strength of your marriage. And so as our world kind of dismisses this aspect of intimacy, spiritual intimacy, we really are leaving out one of the most important factors that connects us and strengthens us and builds that trust and has that peace and brings that joy. And so if you don't have the spiritual intimacy, or maybe you didn't see it growing up, we've said this before in many shows, we are in the third generation of faithlessness. Mm-hmm. At least when I was working in the church world, I had grandparents bringing children and it kind of had skipped a generation. And now those grandparents don't have it as well. And so the kids aren't seeing it anywhere.
Yeah. A tangent just for a second.
Uh-oh. Okay. See, I told you we have a hard time focusing in the summer.
Well, so, you know, as we are recording this, kind of one of the hot films coming out is The Sound of Freedom. Mm. And, you know, you can watch, and we definitely encourage you to watch it. It's not an easy watch just from the subject matter point of view. Mm-hmm. But the point being here is it's about human trafficking, and in large part, it's about human trafficking with children. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this because you talk about we are now in the third generation of people kind of having a godless upbringing, mm-hmm. or definitely less direction. And I think something that, you know, needs to be connected to this is the United States is the number one consumer of this human trafficking garbage, from pornography to the actual acts of prostitution. Mm. And so, you know, we can look at these other countries that what we used to consider third world countries, and from a spiritual perspective, we are way past below the third world level now. We are in a very deep, dark
very
place.
Very depraved world.
Yeah. And so, you know, I make the statement that the mission field is is right here in this country, and it starts in our families. And so, you know, just as you talk about us being deprived out of into the third generation now, The Sound of Freedom is a perfect example of how we are dealing with this. Mm. And it's coming, it starts in our homes. Yeah. It starts in our marriages.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right, hon. And so we saw that movie and we walked out of there convicted. Like we have got to do more to help bring awareness to where does it start? How do we change it? How do we move the needle? And it starts in our homes and it starts young by giving a foundation of faith for our family. So please, if you're kind of wanting to turn us off, could you just tune in for a little bit to see what is it that I could do that could help right this ship for my marriage, for my family, to show my kids something different, maybe something you've never seen growing up that you can have. You can have it. It can start with you. So before we go any further, we want to thank our sponsors.
Yeah. So let's thank Maxwell Construction and Casey's Outdoor Solution for being sponsors of the Rock Solid Family Podcast. So again, we thank those guys just because of the support that they give us, they allow us to put out these messages. So for any of your landscaping needs, go to Casey's. And for any construction need, especially in the commercial world, check out Maxwell's. Great people, good community people. So thanks to those guys.
Just a reminder, if you haven't taken the Summer of Love assessment, it's not too late. You can still do that. The link will be in our show notes, and it's been in the show notes of every week we've done in this series. And so I had a couple who came in for the first time the other day, and they handed me their assessment. They had printed it off online and taking it, and we're bringing it in. And so we just want to say thanks to you for listening and following. And if this is your first one of the series you've listened to, please go back and listen to the others. I think it will be a really big help.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So let's give a little bit of background to set things up about the spiritual side of things. So each one of these, communication and emotional connectedness and physical, you know, they all have some different places where you can kind of see them, and you can see where they go bad, and you can see what comes from them. But spiritual, you know, it has that too. And some, you know, I think one of the things that we want to be clear on, we're not putting this show on spiritual intimacy to last because we thought about it last. When you teach somebody, you have to grab people at where they can understand things and associate first. You don't go to the deepest levels of understanding. You go to the things first, more on the surface, and things like communication and physical intimacy. Those are more like, okay, every relationship can kind of get that. But when you move it to the deepest level of the relationship, and that is called the marriage, then you have to go and to the deepest level of understanding. Mm-hmm. And that deepest level of understanding here is the spiritual side. And so that's why we say, like, if the spiritual mm-hmm. side is not in your marriage, mm-hmm. right, then you're not as deep as you can go yet, guys. Yeah. You can go better and deeper in that.
Oh, and I love the word better. It can get better. And so when people come to us, sometimes they've just Googled us.
Yeah.
They found us on the internet or someone recommended us and they had no idea it involved faith. And as a matter of fact, I've had one woman come in who's wanting some marriage counseling, and she came in alone first, and she just said, don't bring up God because that'll scare him away.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's a hard ask, but we're telling you that, you know, let's be clear, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, right? But this side of heaven, but we all fall short. And that's where we want to make sure we're very clear, like, we're not trying to be holier than thou or self-righteous here. We are two broken people with messed up backgrounds and weaknesses and failures, but that God mm-hmm. has redeemed them and he has used them for his glory, and that he brought us together and he has brought this covenant together. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But, you know, it's something that God only could do, something beautiful with something ugly.
Honey, as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, you know, yeah, there's no perfect marriage, and we're not even close to that. But we don't, that's not a word we really use at all. But here's, you know, we've talked before in shows about the importance, whether it's in a family or a marriage, of having the constitution. Mm. And the constitution is for the sake of, listen, you've got your way of doing something, mm-hmm. your personality, your thought processes, how you go through things. I have my way because we're individuals, okay? And sometimes if you're on the same team, those work pretty good and you can manage them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't. You just butt heads, yeah. right? You approach things differently. And so the God part says, wait, why don't you mm-hmm. go to the ultimate constitution of saying, mm-hmm. what is the right way to do this? How do you proceed through this? Yeah. Whether, you know, love unconditionally. Well, that mm-hmm. wasn't part of my rule, you know, mm-hmm. as a human, like that would be really hard. But when we default to the constitution of God, or bringing mm-hmm. God in. And so that's why, you know, oftentimes marriages, as soon as it gets difficult, they throw the divorce word.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, then maybe we're not meant to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, maybe you're not getting along well on that subject matter. But what would happen if you both humbled yourself and said, well, what does God ask us to do here?
Yeah. The world treats marriage like a contract, almost like you signed up for a gym membership. And if you don't like the gym membership or you don't use it, just cancel it, right? And so you go down to the courthouse, you pay your $25 or whatever it is now.
I don't know. I haven't done
it. I have a clue. Yeah. In 36 years. And you sign your marriage license and voila, you're married, you know? But that's not how God intended marriage to be. He designed marriage to be a covenant, and a covenant modeled from the one that he made with us. And it's rooted in commitment and sacrifice and perseverance, and so promises. And hun, covenants are one of the most important themes in the Bible,
right.
Old Testament and New Testament. They're the key to God's redemptive plan to restore humanity and reunite God's children with their heavenly Father, which is him. And so, you know, God entered into one covenant after another, and man, in order to rescue them, and man would continue to let him down or break it or fall short, but he continues to pursue us. And that's the covenant idea we want to pursue in marriage. Like you said, divorce is not a word we use.
Yeah. Yeah. A big word with covenant is promise, right? It's a promise. And so when you're talking about the perfect one, the creator, I mean, when he makes a promise, like, okay, that's a very high level of expecting the perfection. And so God has a perfect covenant with us. Whether we abide by the covenant, that's on us.
Okay. So I can already hear people listening going, well, you're not married to my spouse, and he breaks promises after promise after promise. And so we have to remember God's full nature was being full of truth,
right,
but also full of grace. Mm-hmm. He knew we were going to fail him. We knew he knew we were going to let him down. And so that's where, when we have a covenant and we have allowed God involved in our relationship, we learn that whole idea of balancing truth and grace. And so, yes, we break promises, we fall short. And that's why we desperately need a Heavenly Father involved in our relationship.
Yeah. So let's then move into, okay, so we got some background on why mm-hmm. it's important to have that spiritual side. But let's talk about, okay, in the summer of love, you scored low on your assessment mm-hmm. or lower than you would like in this area. So what are some things that we can do to start picking it up, to start yep. boosting that score? Okay. Yep. So, first thing, just there's a verse that we just want to kind of put around all this. And this is Ecclesiastes 4:12. And it just says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so it's just that whole idea that you have a third party and that happens to be God. Mm-hmm. All the time, like part of the reason why couple coaching or counseling can be helpful for the couple is because you bring in a neutral third party, somebody who can say, well, let me show it from a different perspective. And it helps hold it together so that conversations don't destruct and turn into, you know, a disaster. It's like this third party can say, okay, wait, I'm not taking your side or your side. What would be the right thing to do? And so that's that third chord. And God's way is that total mediator. He's the counselor. He's the mediator. He's in the middle and he's holding it. And when you run things by him, he's that nice center point that helps neutralize some of your crazy that's getting out on the sides.
Wow, that's so good. So basically you're saying that God is our coach and
that he needs to be involved in the ultimate,
the wonderful counselor. Yeah, it actually says that in the Bible. Imagine that. So number one, make sure you keep these priorities in their proper order. And I will just tell you, this is so foreign to so many people. I mean, I cannot tell you, week after week, I have couples that look at me like deer in the headlights, like, what? And that is the top three: God, your spouse, and children. Okay. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so I'll sometimes have people say, well, where am I in this top three? Well, you are with your spouse, aligned with them, not one above the other. Right. Because it says, you know, be submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so if you both do that, then it's a healthy top three: God, spouse, children. And so that means we don't elevate our job or our parents or our friends above those three. And so we have a lot of misaligned priorities.
The whole idea of us having that right order means that it doesn't, a lot of times I think, hun, people equate that with time. Yeah. Well, my kids are taking so much time. I mean, they're babies. I'm changing diapers and I'm feeding. And it's not that, like, we understand certain jobs at certain times required certain amount of time and attention. Right. What we're saying is that God is first. And so where is he in your daily, right? Where is he in the relationship? So just understanding in your thought, like, okay, wait, I've got God here first, and I want to make sure I'm one of his children and behaving and acting that way.
Yeah. Right? When push comes to shove, what's going to go? And so if everything else, you know, has to be taken out, these are the three that will stay. And sometimes we worry, like, well, I got to go work. I got to have a job, blah, blah, blah. And Matthew 6:33 reminds us not to worry about those things. Yes, he wants you to work, but he also says, prioritize the right things. Seek him first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's basically saying, trust me, put me first, and see how I help you in your life.
Yeah. Okay. So number two, right? The second thing that we're going to ask that you guys to consider is actually inviting God into your life together. Okay. And so what does that mean? Well, you saying, well, I believe there's a God. I mean, that's a pretty superficial statement. And so the belief, I had this conversation the other day with a person, and belief or even faith is empty without deeds. And so, so in other words, you can't just say, I believe there's a God. I have to have actions that show that no, this is part of my whole being. I believe it and I live it.
James chapter 4 says, faith without deeds is dead.
Right.
So don't sit here and tell us, oh, I believe, but you're doing nothing, right?
Yeah.
So you got got to take some action. So give me some examples, hon, of what that would look like in a relationship.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talk about frequently is first off is just having that conversation. Like if you're starting from ground zero, the whole idea of saying, hey, hon, like, what do you think about this whole God thing? Just to see if we have some understanding of it. And you can't force people to go from zero to 100 at the blink of an eye. You and I were talking about this the other day, the idea that we both grew up with a level of faith, but when we started getting deeper, we did it kind of together. It wasn't, because one of the difficulties is if one of you is like, man, you've been in the word, you've been praying, you've been doing all these things, and your spouse is just like, well, I kind of believe, but I don't do all that stuff. If you try to get them right where you are, like at the blink of an eye, people have to make their own decisions. We see this every single day in coaching people. They have to make the decision on their own. And so you help embrace and nurture them, and you just be there to support them. You don't drag them through at your speed, because you will reject them. And so one of the first things is just the conversation. And then, guys, this is just huge. This is that whole idea of, are you praying? Are you praying together? We've talked about this so many times in shows that, what's that website, Break the 50% Rule or whatever?
Beating50%.com.
Beating50%.com. And it's that whole idea of most marriages, or not most, half of marriages, whether they're Christian or not, end in divorce. If we pray together on a regular basis, we prefer daily, right? But if we pray together on a daily basis, and we're not talking more scripted prayer or regimented prayer, such as like a prayer before meals, okay? We're talking about like a coming together in the morning and the evening, whatever, and just talking to God together, right? Those marriages divorce at less than 1%. And so that coming together, that shows you that third chord out there. That third chord is that counselor, that mediator, and he's working you guys together. And so that is a huge thing. Right off the bat, start praying together. If it feels weird, just keep going, keep going.
Well, I put beating50%.com in our notes because I wanted to mention a gift that we give our premarital couples and all the couples going through Rock Solid Marriage. At the end of the program, we give them this marriage journal, and it's just a little connector, hon. It's a weekly journal that you do together. It has a little devotional, and then it has some questions that you ask each other, like, what's been a great joy for you this week? What's been hard for you this week? How can I be praying for you this week? And, you know, what is something maybe I've done that's hurt you this week? And so it really is a way to keep things really current and not let things brush under the rug and things. And so I just wanted to say, if that's something that would be beneficial to you, you can go get a marriage journal. And it's a really great tool, just one. I mean, there's a lot of others out there, but find something to connect you. And hon, I really appreciate what you said, because it is so important that we don't shove it down people's throats and drag them to church, because they're going to be resentful. But you, if it's important to you, then you live it for you. Okay. Don't guilt them. Don't shame them. Okay. Show that it's worth it. And it's going to be contagious. If you have the kind of love for the Lord and a passion to serve him or to pray to him or read his word, it's going to be contagious for not just your spouse, but your children as well.
I was just going to go there.
But if you're going to guilt everybody and you're going to shame them and you're going to pound it in their head, they're not going to want what you're selling.
No, because it comes off more as, you should be more like me.
Right. Self-righteous.
And so, especially as our, like, when you talk about your kids, pretty much when we start to get in those teenage years, okay, we still are parenting our kids. But if you are yelling and screaming at your kids about going to see God, and they're not seeing so many of the other aspects, the peace, the joy, the love, the kindness, if they're not really seeing that as you bring it in from, as it's associated with God, they're kind of looking at you like, yeah, I don't really want what you're buying. And so your spouse is seeing the same thing. So it's better to back off and you just work your way of your relationship and let them see it. Let them see the peace and the happiness. And they go, man, here's a common statement that you get when people who are on the rocks, they'll say stuff like, I want more of what they have.
Yeah, I want what you have. Yeah. Which number three kind of leads to what we're talking about. And that's find a church home that you can feel comfortable together worshiping in. So many times, hon, we've got couples who come from very different faith backgrounds, or one had something and the other one didn't. And so they feel really uncomfortable going to their church or their religion. And so find what works for the two of you. Obviously, we encourage it to be biblically sound, right? And and based on the word of God. But if you don't know the word of God, it's really hard to even know where to go. So again, if you live in the greater Cincinnati area, reach out to us. We'd love to help you connect to a local church that would be healthy for you and your family. And we love it. We found a church that had something for our children so that they could learn on their level and really find their faith of their own, right? And so not mommy and daddy's faith. And so I appreciated just really the community of believers that we got, you know, 30 plus years ago of just really helping us to walk alongside us and help us in this family we have.
Great point, hon. The idea of... In our culture, we get so many arguments about which church is right and what denomination is right. And because we're three generations deep of people being just confused or absent from it, people get confused. And so, you know, the best one to go to is the one that you both say, we'd be okay with this. The basis, the only basis initially is, is it biblically sound?
Right.
Okay, is it biblically sound? And you can both say, okay, this has something where we can start. You can specialize later if you would like, meaning, you know, if you're like, man, you know, now we really see that this church offers this sort of thing and this is really where we're passionate and okay, like, great, fine. But the idea here is it biblically sound, not which one's right or wrong for me?
Yeah, I was working with a woman at the pregnancy center the other day, and she has no faith foundation. She has a little one now. And it's because she saw just a lot of arguing growing up. Mm-hmm. Parents that were coming from different denominations, and they just made it really ugly. And so she kind of said, I just didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was right. I didn't know what I should do. So I just didn't do any of it. And I was like, well, okay, you get to create your own legacy of faith now for your family.
That's right. Yep.
And so you get to decide. And so, yes, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying that mom and dad did a great job there, but at least find something for your family to build off of. So that's number three. Number four, grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's word together. And that's where the Bible, if it's new or if it's been a long time, find a group, find a Bible study where you guys can learn and grow together. Man, I'm telling you, when I worked in the church for over 20 years, when I had somebody just come in and say, I don't know where to begin, but I know I need something, I loved that because it was just an acknowledgement like, here, help me,
right?
Right? And so, man, churches and pastors and ministers or priests, they're so willing to help people. But see, we have this pride in us. So we don't want to acknowledge like we don't know where to begin or we need help. And so that's where we get stuck, where we just pretend, we put on this mask and this facade of like we know it all. And we stay stuck in something that God has such a great plan for us in our lives.
Yeah. I mean, buy basic Bibles, buy application Bibles, buy things that help you with the initial of this. And I think it's really important that when you are in a church or whatever, that the pastor is important or is good about saying, hey, you know, I'm going to go to John or Matthew or whatever. And this is where this is in the Bible to help, because we can't shame people. If you shame people, they'll never walk back through the door.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's one thing if your kid came up in the church all their life, and you know, they should know something because they've been exposed to it so many times. But if you're not there, okay, let's not spend any time beating people up. Let's just go through and start.
Hey, I admit, when we first started going to a Christian church and we didn't own a Bible, I didn't know where to begin. And here you and I were teachers. And so I really felt kind of embarrassed that I didn't even own a Bible and I didn't even know where to begin. And so we did finally admit, and we got connected with men and women who walked alongside us. Mm-hmm. And we got a life, remember our first life application Bible?
I still have it.
It's like a Bible with cliff notes on it to help kind of like, who are these people I'm learning about, and these timelines and these little biographies of different characters in the Bible. And we fought over it to a point where
that's not good though, right?
No, I mean, we both wanted it. Like that was the Bible we wanted. And so we actually bought another one and
large print.
We've had several since then. They've fallen apart, but it was so helpful. So I could go to that to get some of my questions answered, basic questions. This was, by the way, before the internet.
Right.
That shows how old we are. Mm-hmm. But it was just a huge help for us.
Yeah. So, and because context means everything when you're reading scripture. And so, you know, a cherry picking scripture is dangerous. And so context is important, understanding the culture, the time, the place, all of these different things are really important.
To, why it was. Yeah. Next one.
Yeah, number five. So, you know, learning to serve together. So finding some common ground of like, well, we both think that this is important. And maybe it's serving somebody, the people who are needy in your community. Maybe it's Linda and I serve through more of coaching and counseling and those kinds of things and some teaching things. And so finding some things that you both kind of have a little niche for, you have an interest in, or it's laid on your heart and saying, well, we could do this together. And some, you know, like if you're wired completely differently, then maybe it's just serving generally like, hey, you know what? I'm good at cutting grass. Mm-hmm. Okay. So go out and at the church, you say, hey, I can cut some grass. Mm-hmm. And maybe your wife or your spouse says, I'm pretty good at crafts and stuff, but I don't know about that cutting grass stuff. Okay, Brian, like maybe you help with the VBS crafts or that kind of thing. You know, like the idea that you're serving for one idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it also helps you to connect. You know, some of our earliest days in the church were teaching classes and working with youth ministry and being youth leaders. And we met so many families that way. Mm-hmm. And we got connected with kids that were our kids' age. And so those are the ways that you can not only serve the Lord, but also connect to a community. So we really highly encourage that. Number six, start some new family traditions that honor God, whether it be a manger that you have at Christmas time, or whether it be that you read the Easter story on Easter morning, or, you know, things that can help you really solidify why God is important in your family.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an important thing to do. Those simple things, not just for your marriage, but to let your kids know that this is part of our fabric. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from the evening meal prayer, okay? Yeah. The tradition and a ritual of, well, on Sunday, we're going to church. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we don't do it empty. Right. All right. And that's why we don't do a scripted prayer before a meal, because it can become empty to yourself and your kids. And so sometimes we just say, you know, Lord, thank you for the food. But also I want today to thank you for this that occurred, to make it a little bit more relevant and pertinent to the day.
Yeah. We also started a tradition of doing family devotionals after dinner, where we'll push the dishes back and we'll really, when our kids were little, we did like a little family devotional book, and they fight over who read the story and who read the scripture. Mm-hmm. And then we asked the questions. And then now with our youngest three, you know, our youngest adopted children, when they were in our home younger, we did family question of the night, where we had family conversation cards, and some of them are faith-based. And so really, like, what would you do, or how would you handle this? And so, you know, that's a really important legacy and tradition that I know is going to be important for them. And they're going to talk about that when they get older.
Yeah. But you bring that up, and I think it's important when our kids see areas and challenges that we struggle with. Mm-hmm. Like when they give us a question of the day and it's pertinent to our faith or whatever, and we're like, hey guys, like, you know, man, this whole thing about whatever, you know,
tithing,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, like I've struggled with this one. Mm-hmm. This is not an easy one for me, because, you know, it's okay for your kids to see you wrestle with God. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for them to wrestle with God. The idea is that you are wrestling with God, okay? Because it's really your flesh, your carnal with God. And that's an ongoing battle. It's okay for your kids to see that. And you want to give them the comfort to say, it's okay to bring this to God and struggle with it.
Yeah. Number 7, don't withhold physical or emotional intimacy or use them as a weapon. God will not bless that. God intended intimacy in marriage to involve all three, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And so we've seen this before where, you know, again, we're not saying if there's abuse. If there's abuse, then we kind of have to have a kind of an escalation clause of some major ultimatums and things to change. But, you know, on a regular basis, if you're doing this to kind of get back at your spouse or to show them who's boss, like, that's not healthy.
Yeah. So that kind of dovetails into number 8. So remember, like, we've tackled these intimacy wellnesses separately for the sake of having the conversation, but they are intermingled. They're meshed together in terms of how somebody's actually experiencing the marriage. Yeah. And so, you know, it is good to separate the three and look at them and do things specifically for the three, all right? So doing things that physically are just with each other, doing things that emotionally that connect to each other, doing things spiritually that connect. It, you know, it's like going to the gym and it's isolating. Like today I'm going to work legs, you know, today I'm going to do the back, you know, so... and when we work on all three of those, when they come together, the whole body functions better. So it's important to do that.
But I will tell you, one leads to the other. There is nothing sexier than a spouse who is going to grab their partner's hand, physical intimacy, and they're going to pray over their spouse, spiritual intimacy, and then let that spouse know how much they mean to them, emotional intimacy. And that sometimes can lead to more physical intimacy. Like it's just,
it may.
it's just a beautiful picture of the gospel and how God has designed the covenant and how he has designed the marriage bed and how he wants us to be one in Christ. The oneness comes when we incorporate all three intimacies the way God has designed under his umbrella of faithfulness and respect and love unconditionally. And that is what is a beautiful picture that God's created for us.
Yeah. Number 9 is the idea of you have to open the door to honesty. And that sounds like so, like a big duh. Like, yeah, we should be honest. But sometimes we're afraid to hurt each other. We're afraid to say something. And so we, in certain areas, we walk around eggshells where we're afraid to open up that hornet's nest, you know. And so we have to be able to be honest with each other when we say stuff like, you know, to be honest, like, this upsets me or it bothers me or I don't understand this. And you have to be able to not emotionally react. You have to be able to receive those things. And the way that you do that, hon, is practicing grace. Tell me where you're at. I mean, I know we're not on the same page with it. Tell me where you're at. Let me just hear it. And it's not about getting your partner to come to your side. It's about the two of you understanding and then working the dance better together.
I know I've used this example before, but it fits so perfectly here. And that is, you know, if there's something that your spouse is doing and their intention is to build intimacy, but it bothers you or it upsets you, to not speak that is just going to build resentment for you and confusion for him. And I've used the example of you're groping me at the kitchen sink.
Easy now.
And,
easy.
You know, I would have my hands full of dishwater, soapy dishwater, and you come up and you know, grab me and, you know, from the backside.
You're giving a terrible image of me.
But, you know, I know it was done in love and I know it was done to connect. It was fun, right? But to me, it was, yikes, very uncomfortable. And so I had to let you know that. And you've done an amazing job in respecting me since. But if I had not spoken that and you kept doing it and I just got more irritated and you got more like, what's your problem?
Right.
Then that's on me. Like, I got to be honest about what upsets me, what attracts me, and be honest both ways.
Yeah. Number 10. All right. When you are noticing that there's some friction or some conflict, okay, that is a time where instead of you going to say, what's wrong with them? Mm. Now is the time to say, God, show me what you want. In other words, testing your words, testing your actions, testing your thoughts about what God is actually asking. Remember, he's the third chord. Mm-hmm. He's the mediator. He's the counselor. He's the holder of the covenant. He's got the constitution of how to treat people with unconditional love and respect. And so to say, you know, am I just bombarding my partner with my way, and I'm irritated because they don't do things my way. You know, running that by God's word to say, God, work on me. And so a huge prayer that we always have with couples is, you work on you and she will work on her. Don't be trying to work on each other. Right. So you, the only person that you can change in all of this is yourself. Right. And, but if both people have a willing heart to change themselves as they reflect everything back through God, you two are going to come together. Yeah. You're going to come together because God's going to bring you together through his word.
So love your spouse the way God loves you. Okay. And so we do, we have to test everything against his word. My attitude, is my attitude stinking? Is my actions coming off wrong? My words, you know, so that is something important. So, you know, we're going to challenge you to have an honest conversation with your spouse about spiritual intimacy. You know, what does it look like to you, right? Mm-hmm. In what ways do you enjoy spiritual intimacy as with your partner? And then, you know, feel free to add ideas and talk about it. And if there's anything that your partner is doing to that's eroding that spiritual intimacy or preventing it, then speak it. Speak the truth in love, right? Do it with gentleness and respect. And that's what God's calling us to do. Don't hold it in, but talk through it to get to that place of oneness God has called us to.
And part of that challenge, hun, this week is if you're... If your spouse does something well already, and maybe they have for years, you know, what's praised is repeated. Mm-hmm. And the longer we get into a marriage, the more passive and just dismissive we become over certain acts. And if you can think about, like, you know, I've always loved when they laugh. I've always loved when they did these small things, or like, bring it back up, remind them, man, I appreciate that. Because that spiritually is going to reconnect you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And so not everything is bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just what we focus on.
Yeah.
And if I'm only looking for the bad, then that's what I'm going to see. And so if I start challenging myself to see the good, that will reignite some of these intimacies at whole different levels than you've seen recently.
So true. If you're looking for something to connect the two of you, consider going through our Rock Solid Marriage online marriage program. You can find out more information on our website, rocksolidfamilies.org. It has a breakdown of the different levels that you can do. It involves one level. It involves a lot of coaching coming in or Zooming with us, or you can just have the program and the workbook and the videos at a different level. And so especially if you didn't see this growing up, if you don't know how to get to a healthy, intimate summer of love marriage, then we would highly recommend it. We believe that it gives the foundation that couples need to have that relationship that God has designed it to be.
All right. So we are wrapping up the part five.
Can we just keep going?
Well, we'll just keep recirculating as we come in through the fall and the winter season, I'm sure. But we're wrapping it up. Again, at the end of the day, you know, as the Sound of Freedom movie tells us about the just darkness that is out in this world, it starts in our home, guys. It starts in our home. And so rather than us looking at the people to the north, south, east, or west of us, how about we look dead center? We look right in our home and say, you know, where is our home when it comes to relationships, when it comes to God? So that's just a big part of what we want to continue to push and advocate for here. And we hope you see the reason and the purpose in that. So if we can help in any way at Rock Solid Families, please reach out to us. You can go to our website at rocksolidfamilies.org. You can call our office. We have three coaches now there. Meredith is not here, but by the way, Meredith is going to start joining us in some upcoming shows.
I think she's coming
shows.
Next week.
Yeah, so she's going to be talking about some different things. And you know what? She's a whole new book that we get to open and learn from. Yep. And so we're looking forward to that. Yep. Right. So you can call us at 812-576-7625. Yep. We want to thank Maxwell Construction and Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring and just supporting the work that we do here. So, hon, I think that's all we got. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the Rock Solid Families podcast, making and building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day.
Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.